Amen. The book of Mark, chapter number 14, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. The Bible says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes saw how they might take him, talking about the Lord Jesus, by craft and put him to death. They said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of this ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. I want you to look at what the Bible says. In verse number 8 it says, she hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. That's why we love you so much, Lord, because you first loved us. Lord, we thank you for the time that we have to look into thy word. And I pray for the next few moments that we would be encouraged and helped and blessed and strengthened to go on for thee. Lord, if there be one here that does not know Christ as Savior, I pray that this would be the night that they trust thee. Lord, I know in our midst there's many that have made those professions of faith and they know Christ. Lord, tonight I pray that your word would speak to their heart in a great way. And we go out of here with a greater desire to live for you than ever before. Lord, I pray that thy precious will would be done in this place and we'll thank you for what is accomplished. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We find here a story about the chief priests and the scribes seeking to put the Lord Jesus to death. And in the midst we find that he's in Bethany. He's in the house of Simon the leper, and there's a woman that comes to him. And this woman, of course, is Mary, Mary of Bethany. And she brings an alabaster box of spikenard. It's a very precious ointment. In other words, there's not a lot of it, and so it's very costly. She breaks the box, and she pours it on his head. Now, in this crowd of people that are around the Lord, the Bible says that there were some that had indignation within themselves. And if you go and read in the Gospel of John this same record, you're going to find out that one was none other than the man by the name of Judas Iscariot. And then he says, you know, she could have taken this and she could have gotten the money for it, and 300 pence worth, and putting it in the treasury, and we could have done some great things, fed the poor and the needy and took care of all these different things. But he wasn't so concerned about that. As a matter of fact, the other story, the other record of it says he didn't really care about the money. He was a thief. He didn't care about the poor. He cared about the money because he had his hand in the bag, you know? And the more money that was in the bag, the more money was available to him. He was a rotten, stinking liar is what he was, and a thief. And we see here is that indignation. And here's a lady that's coming to the Lord Jesus to do something precious and to do something wonderful. And one of his own so-called disciples begins to gripe and complain. You know, I'm reminded of stories that I hear of how people that are raised in Christian homes. I've heard of families. Maybe a boy was called to preach, and the mom and dad said, don't waste your life doing such things like that. You know? And I begin to think how pitiful that is. What greater thing could somebody do than to be right smack dab in the center of God's will? That's the greatest thing anybody could do with their life. But Mary of Bethany is honoring the Lord. And she had the right motive, didn't she? Her heart was right with God. She hath done what she could. But I want you to take note of something else in this, in verse number 6, when it says, "Let her alone, why trouble ye her?" Notice what it says, "She hath wrought a good work on me." And that's something that we need to understand. This world is filled with people doing good works. But it's who we're doing those works for that matters. There's a lot of people trying to get into heaven by doing good works. There's all kinds of societies that are out there to feed the poor and to help the homeless. And look, the Bible teaches us as believers we are to help the homeless and the poor and the less fortunate. I believe that and I understand all those things. But we're to do it because we're being obedient to the Lord, but not try to work our way into heaven. We're doing it because we are saved, not in order to be saved. And so as we think about this tonight, and I think about where the Bible says she hath done what she could, we see that she has the right motive, the right heart, and the Bible says she hath wrought a good work on me. I want us to look at this work where she hath done what she could. I want you to see, first of all, tonight, it was a work of love. It was a work of love. When we're doing what we do and we're doing it for the Lord, it's because we love the Lord. And it ought to be out of the right kind of heart. The Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." The love of Christ motivates us. Tonight we ought to be doing what we can out of a heart filled with love. This is a work of love. The woman said, "How much can I do for Jesus?" You know, we're living in a world today where it's, "I'm saved, and how little can I do to get by with? How little can I do for the church? How little can I do and still be all right with God?" But tonight we ought to be saying, "How much can I do for my Jesus?" We sing the song all the time, "My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My precious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now." I wonder how little I can do and get by with. There's hypocrisy in churches sometimes, isn't there? Hypocrisy is when you see a church filled up on Sunday mornings with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, and they stand up and sing songs like, "My Jesus, I love Thee," and sing songs and say that I'm consecrated to Thee, and then you come back Sunday night and you know, you can't hardly see anybody out there. You know, you begin to wonder, is it a work of love? People come to church for show, or they come to church because they love the Lord? Mary of Bethany was doing what she did because she loved Jesus. And tonight, if our church is ever going to be what it's supposed to be, it's going to have to be because this is a labor of love. It is a work of love. She hath wrought a good work on me. We're doing what we do not in order for somebody to say, "Boy, I want you to look and see what old such and such is doing. I want you to look and see how good so and so is doing." But we're doing it because we know the Lord is pleased with us. Everybody wants a pat on the back. But dear friends, truly our reward is going to be in heaven. I like to get pats on the back. I like to tell somebody, "You did a great job." But more importantly, I want to stand before the Lord and I want to hear Him say, "Well done." Not everybody's going to get that. Not everybody that goes to heaven is going to get, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Because there's too many that's not good and faithful. They're saved, but they're not doing the work of love. It's a work of love. I think about the widow's mite. You know, what a story that is. "What can I do for my Lord?" And she loved the Lord so much, and she gave what she could. She gave more than all the wealthy people. And a lot of people, you know, they think, if somebody's a millionaire and they give $1,000 to the church, you know, as a special offering, but then you have somebody that's just poor and can barely make ends meet, and they give $10, who's giving the most? It's that one, because they've done it because they love the Lord. I know people in this church that have given sacrificially to the work of Christ. I know people in this church that have given of their time sacrificially just because they love the Lord. That's what it's all about, isn't it? "She hath wrought a good work on me." Tonight, let's do what she did. Let's do what we can, and let's do a good work on the Lord. Let's do a good work for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a work of love. Not only was it a work of love, it was a work of sacrifice. We're talking about, notice what the Bible says, an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. This is something maybe that was passed along to her, or maybe she bought it, but it's something very costly. And it's something that's rare, something that she doesn't have a lot of, but she was willing to give what she had to the Lord. And so we see that this is a work of sacrifice. We need to understand tonight that if we're going to do anything for God, it's going to take some sacrifice on our part. It's going to have to take us being willing to give up of ourselves, to be willing to step out by faith and do some things, to be willing to dive in and not be so concerned about what everybody else thinks, but what does God think? Sacrificial work is truly a work where whether you get credit or not, you're going to do it because you do love the Lord. And it's something that you're willing to give your all to the Lord Jesus. By the way, the more you invest in the Lord, the greater return on assets you'll give, you'll ever get. There's a lot of people that put a lot of money in the stock market and they thought they'd never lose, but they've lost. But I can assure you of one thing tonight, if you've ever invested in the Lord, you have not lost. Not a dime, not a cent, not a moment of time have you lost if you've invested that moment of time in the work of the Lord. Well, my life is busy and it's hard to do, but that's where it's a work of sacrifice. We have to either decide we're going to do God's work or the world's work. Now, we have to work in the world. We understand that. But the work of the world should never come before what God would have us to do. God has a will, God has a plan, and God has a purpose for our life. And if that which is outside of God's plan and purpose and will takes priority, then we are not doing the work that God would have us to do. Does that make sense? You know? I've heard people say, when I worked at Eastman, and I had people that was on my crew, several people that was on my crew that went to our church, and you know, they loved working. Our work week started Monday, and Sunday was the final day. We worked Monday through Friday. If you worked Monday through Sunday, and you worked all 7 days, then you got double time and a half on Sunday. And man, I had some guys on my crew that volunteered for every second of overtime that they could possibly get. I'm telling you, I worked almost 1,000 hours overtime in a year. And I didn't come close to what some of them guys did. And that's because I had to. Is that or not have a job, you know? So we're talking a lot of overtime. But these guys, they would just say, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it. And a couple of them was members of our church. I said, hey, don't forget, Sunday's the Lord's Day. Well, preacher, you know, the more money I make, the more money I can give to the church. I said, I don't think your reasoning is quite right, you know? And we try to reason things out, and we try to justify ourselves. Now, sometimes the ox is in the ditch, and sometimes you got to do the work, and sometimes when you have a job, you've got to fulfill your duties. There's no doubt about that. But sometimes we think about this is a work of sacrifice. She could have taken this ointment and sold it for herself and put money in her own pocket. Old Judas was concerned. He wanted her to take the money and she'd take the ointment and sell it and give him the money and feed the poor because he was so poor and needy, apparently. You know? But you understand what we're saying here is a work. The Bible says the Lord Jesus said she had done what she could. She didn't have a lot. I don't know what kind of ability or what kind of talent she had, but I know she did what she could because Jesus said it. And if he said it, you can rest assured it's true. She had done what she could, and she did a work. It was a work of love. It was a work of sacrifice. She took something that could have put money in her pocket, and she said, I'm going to pour it out on Jesus. And by the way, what greater thing can you do than to pour all you have on the Lord Jesus Christ? Old Tom Sexton. I can't hardly say his name without saying old Tom Sexton. It's an inside joke with my family, but Brother Tom, he's got a sermon that says, pour it on, Jesus. I like that sermon. It's great. And it comes from here. And you heard him preach from this passage of Scripture a couple years ago on breaking your alabaster box. I don't know if you remember that sermon. I remember it. It stuck with me. How that we have to break our alabaster box. The things that are so precious to us sometimes are things that we have to give up in order to do what God wants us to do with our lives. It was a work of love. It was a work of sacrifice. It was a work of faith. A work of faith. You understand that she was willing to give this seemingly all that she had and just trust that God was going to bless her for what she was doing. Sometimes we do works and we wonder, what good is it? You ever do that? How many doors have we knocked on in these last 5 years? How many people have we handed out gospel tracts to? How many people have we witnessed to about the Lord? And we'll go neighborhood after neighborhood, door after door, and we'll knock on the door and we'll ask people to come to church. And we're looking, I mean, it's just like nobody seems to want to come to church, you know? But we're not looking for results, we're just looking for obedience. It's a work of faith. We're doing it by faith because it's what God tells us to do. And God will give the results when He's good and ready to give the results. And whether we ever gain another person from it or not, we have to be busy being a faithful witness for the Lord. People think that you know, if all you ever do in your witnessing life is coming on a Monday night and going out with the church group as they go out, then you may as well not come. Because if you're not being a faithful witness throughout the rest of the time, then going out on that Monday night is not going to help you to accomplish the will of God. This is a work of faith. Everything we do around here is a work of faith. Did it make sense for her to break her alabaster box? Did that make sense for her to do that? When she was somebody, if you go study it, you know she was not a wealthy person. Did it make sense? No, but she knew that this all she had, and she wanted to give all she had to Jesus. And by faith, she broke that alabaster box because she knew He was getting ready to die for her. That's what Jesus said. She's just getting me ready to be buried. She had something that others didn't know. The disciples will say, it'll never happen. But she came knowing that something was going to happen. You want to know why? She was doing a work of faith because she had great faith in the Lord Jesus. And she knew this was something that she could do for Him. And sometimes, and you know, I'm one of those that look and I fret sometimes. I don't want to say worry because worrying's a sin. Fretting's all right, but perplexed but not in despair. How's that? But you know, we let things stop us from doing what we know God wants us to do. There comes a point in your life where you have to step out by faith and do certain things, even when it does not make sense. You say, oh boy, he's setting us up for something big. No, I'm just telling you. It's the way it is. Churches always... This is not a place that's to live by sight. If all we are is a sight church, then let's just take our name off the front, board up the front doors, and go home. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, I don't think we have to be frivolous, but I don't think we have to be faithless. We have to do what we do by faith. In other words, we go forward by faith, following God. This was a work of faith. And she knew that everything she invested in the Lord, it would be all right. She'd get a good return on her asset. You know what she got? She had eternal life waiting on her. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the moment she died? Who do you think the first one was to meet her? The Lord Jesus. I believe he'll be the first one to meet me too. Not because I'm so good, just because he loves me so much. And when she met him, you reckon he said, you know what? I've thought about it now. Maybe you shouldn't have poured out that alabaster box. And you know, you should have taken it and made a way and provided for yourself for the rest of your days. You could have taken that money. No. She was blessed for her faith. We have to do things by faith, don't we? And then I want you to see finally tonight. I need to come up with another point or two here. I'm getting done way too quick. It's just 10 to 7. We'll take a break and then we'll come back, all right? It was a work that was in season or out of season. Now, we look at this and it was kind of out of season, but it was in season at the same time. It was in season because it was time for it. It was out of season because of all the heartache that was brought to her and all the things that were said about her. The Bible says we're to preach the word, be instant when? In season, out of season. When it's convenient, when it's not convenient. When it's easy, when it's not so easy. This was easy for her to do. Why? Because she was pouring it out on Jesus. And she knew it was right. But this was hard for her to do. Because there was people like Judas Iscariot there that was saying, this is stupid. This is dumb. There are people that are poor. There are people that are hungry. There are people that are needy. And she's wasting this alabaster box of ointment of spikenard by breaking it and pouring it on Jesus. That would be hard to say, wouldn't it? Jesus said, you always have the poor with you. And you can do good to them whenever. But you don't always have me with you. He's talking about the bodily presence. He's with us always, isn't he? But he's saying, I'm here with you. You can touch me. You can talk to me. And I can talk directly back to you. I'm right here. And what you need to realize, this was not some pride thing. What the Lord Jesus was saying, I'm the most important thing in your life. And by the way, he would say the same thing today. And if we don't look at him as being the most important thing in our life, then we're not where we ought to be with God. See, we think the Lord can, the Lord makes statements like that. And I've heard people say, you know, it sounds like a haughty statement from the Lord. No, he's God. He deserves that place in our lives. And what he is teaching Mary of Bethany is sometimes it's going to be easy to do things and sometimes it's going to be difficult to do things, but you do what you do and do all that you can do and I'll take care of the rest of it. She had done what she could. And this is a work that was for in season or out of season, and sometimes it's easy to do the work of God. Sometimes it's simple to do the work of God. I'm telling you, sometimes I come to church and I look around and man alive, I've got the sermon ready and I'm ready to preach and I'm thinking, boy, I just can't wait to get in that pulpit. And then sometimes I come in and it's just like, it just don't seem to be going the way I think it ought to be going. And I fight. I fuss with myself. I change my sermon 10 times sitting in the seat sometimes. You know, God's already settled it, but I've not settled it. If you're not a preacher, you don't get that. But if you're a preacher, you get what I'm saying. So there's 2 or 3 of us here that may understand what I'm saying. Sometimes it's simple to preach, and then sometimes it's hard to preach. Sometimes it's simple to hear, and sometimes it's hard to hear. Sometimes I get up and preach, and to be honest with you, this is just the truth. I feel like I'm preaching to a brick wall. I see people looking, you know? And then there's times I'm preaching and I see people. Now you tell me which is easier to preach to. You know? So what I do when people are like, I say, well, let's just close up the Bible and go on home. No. In season, out of season. Convenient, not convenient. Easy, not so easy. That's just preaching. Living your life for the Lord in season, out of season. When it's convenient, when it's not convenient. When it's easy, when it's not so easy. You just keep on doing the work, whatever it is God has for you to do, regardless of whether it's simple or not. Regardless of whether it just falls into place or you have to really struggle and toil and fight, but you know this is what God wants you to do? I can see Mary of Bethany bringing this ointment, this box of ointment in, and coming, and she's coming with the purpose of breaking it. And these guys are over here, and they're saying, that's dumb. You're wasting money, and you're putting all this out for what? Why are you doing this? There's a lot more that can be done with that than what you're doing with it. Can you just imagine what she must have felt like? But I believe she didn't look to where Judas was. I believe she looked to where Jesus was. You want to serve God and keep on the firing line and do what God wants you to do? We need to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Multitudes of people had bowed at the feet of Jesus. But many times they had bowed wanting something from Him. But here comes a precious lady that bows at the feet of Jesus, not wanting something from Him, but wanting to do something for Him. Would to God tonight that He would find many of us bowing at His feet to do something for Him instead of being so busy asking for something from Him. She hath done what she could, Jesus said. It was a work of love. It was a work of sacrifice. It was a work of faith. And it was a work in season or out of season. The results certainly were difficult. And if we're going to serve the Lord, if I'm going to serve God, if you're going to serve God, I want you to see that you're going to be misunderstood sometimes. Not everybody's going to get what you're doing and why you're doing it. But tonight, all we need is the approval of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all that matters. And Jesus gave His approval because He said, she hath done what she could. I wish when I met the Lord in heaven that He would be able to say, He's done what He could. But shamefully, if I were to meet Him tonight, He wouldn't be saying He's done what He could. He's done some things, but there's so much more that He's not done that He could do and should do. And I have to say, but will He do it? May the Lord help us. Let's bow our heads. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I want you to think about Mary of Bethany. Think about this work that she wrought on the Lord. What she did with what she had. Tonight you may not have much. You may not have great abilities. You may not have great talents. Maybe you do have great talents and great abilities. But what matters the most is what are you doing with what you have? Are you doing what you can? Or are you just satisfied with being part of a status quo, being a little bit better than somebody else, but not necessarily being everything that God would want you to be? Maybe tonight you just need to take a next step. Maybe you need to say, you know, I've got to do some surrendering in my life. I've given most of my life to the Lord. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven to give most of my life, but I've kept back a room or two just for myself. Because it wasn't so convenient. Maybe say, you know, I'm going through one of those times where it's not so easy to serve the Lord, but you cannot stop doing what God wants you to do, in season, out of season. Work of faith, a work of love, a work of sacrifice. May God speak to your heart about your response tonight. Father, please have your way. I pray that we'd be obedient. And as you've used your word to speak to our hearts, may we respond in a way that's right with Thee. Lord, we'll thank you now for what you do in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be like this woman as she wrought work on thee. Help us to pour out our work on thee. Help us to do what we can. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, I want you to quietly stand to your feet. Miss Beth's going to